Have you ever watched somebody rotate off a grass strip, get the airplane maybe 10 feet into the air, and then just sort of hang there, mushing, nose high, not climbing, not accelerating, the whole airplane shuddering like it can't decide whether it wants to fly? And you think to yourself, that looked ugly, but I'm not totally sure why. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar. Today we are going to talk about the soft field takeoff. And more specifically, we're going to talk about ground effect, because ground effect is the whole secret to this maneuver, and it's also the thing that trips up more applicants than almost anything else on the takeoff and landing tasks. Let's walk through this together. First, why does this maneuver even exist? The soft field takeoff is on the Airman Certification Standards, the ACS, for the private pilot certificate, but it's not there just to check a box. It's there because one day you might actually put your airplane down on grass, or dirt, or a strip that's soft from rain, or a field with tall, wet spring growth that grabs at your wheels. And a soft surface does something a paved runway never does. It fights you. Every second your wheels are rolling through soft ground. They're trying to slow you down, or worse, dig in and stop you cold. On a really soft field, if you come to a stop, you may not be able to get moving again at all. So the entire philosophy of the soft field technique is this. Get the weight off the wheels as early as possible and keep the airplane rolling the whole time. That's it. That's the whole idea. Everything you do with your hands and feet is in service of those two goals before we go deeper. Let me take a quick second for the folks who help keep this show on the air. Shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter. The ones you'll want to hold in your hand years from now and remember exactly how you felt that day. AviationSoul.com. Okay, let's build the soft field takeoff from the ground up. Literally, it starts before you're even lined up. On a true soft field, you don't stop. You keep the airplane moving as you taxi into position, because stopping on soft ground and then trying to break free again is exactly what you're trying to avoid. So you do what we call a rolling takeoff. You keep a little momentum, you turn onto the runway, and you smoothly bring in the power without ever coming to a halt. Now, the elevator. From the very beginning of the takeoff roll, you want the yoke or the stick all the way back in your lap. Full aft elevator. Why? Because on most training airplanes, the Cessna 172, the Piper Cherokee, that nose wheel up front is the enemy on a soft surface. It's small, it's out ahead of you, and it wants to dig into the mud and either slow you down or flip you up onto your nose. Full back elevator puts aerodynamic force on the tail, which lifts that nose wheel up off the surface as soon as you have enough airflow over the tail to do it. So you're rolling. Power's coming in smooth and full, yoke's in your gut. And what happens is, pretty early in the roll, that nose is going to come up. The nose wheel lifts off the ground. Here's where the first mistake shows up. A lot of applicants slam the power in and hold the yoke pinned all the way back and just leave it there. And what happens is, the nose keeps coming up and up, until you're staring at the sky and the tail is about to strike the runway. That's a tail strike waiting to happen, and it's also a nose attitude so high the airplane will stagger into the air way too slow. So the moment that nose wheel comes off, you have to relax some of that back pressure. Not all of it. You still want the nose wheel off the ground, but you're now flying the airplane in a specific attitude. You're holding the nose at roughly the pitch attitude you'd use for a normal liftoff, keeping weight off that nose wheel, letting the main wheels carry the airplane as it accelerates. Your job in this phase is to be a pitch controller. Hold that attitude, don't let the nose balloon up, don't let it drop back down, and because the wings are already at a fairly high angle of attack, sitting in that nose-high attitude, the airplane is going to lift off the ground all by itself. It'll fly off at an airspeed lower than you'd ever use on a hard runway, and that is exactly what you want. You want off that soft surface as early as the airplane will physically leave it. Now, here is the heart of the whole thing. Here is the part that separates a clean soft field takeoff from a busted one. Here's something I wish someone had told me plainly when I was training, because I had to learn it by doing it wrong. The airplane lifts off and it is flying, but it is not ready to climb. Say that again in your head, it's flying. It is not ready to climb at that liftoff speed. Maybe you're a good 10 or 15 knots below your best rate of climb speed, your VI. If you point the nose up and try to climb out right there, the airplane cannot do it. There isn't enough energy. The wing is right on the ragged edge. Try to force a climb, and one of two things happens. Either you mush along going nowhere, or you settle right back down onto the very soft field you just worked so hard to leave, and now you're worse off than when you started because you touched down slow and nose high on soft ground. So what saves you? Ground Effect saves you. Let's talk about what Ground Effect actually is, because if you understand it, this maneuver stops being a memorized sequence and starts being something you feel. When your wing is flying close to the ground, roughly within one wingspan of the surface, the ground interferes with the airflow around the wing. Specifically, it interrupts the wingtip vortices and the downwash coming off the back of the wing. The practical result is that your wing produces less induced drag down there near the surface. A lot less induced drag is the drag that comes as a byproduct of making lift, and near the ground, that penalty drops off. Less drag means the airplane can accelerate more easily. So Ground Effect gives you a little cushion, a zone right above the runway where the airplane will fly at a lower speed and build airspeed faster than it could up higher. So, the technique is this. The instant the airplane flies off, you lower the nose gently and you level off just a few feet above the runway. You stay down in that cushion of Ground Effect, and you let the airplane accelerate. You're deliberately flying level, low, letting the airspeed build. You watch that airspeed needle climb, and only when you reach a safe climb speed, your VX if you've got an obstacle, or your VY for best rate, only then do you rotate into the climb and leave Ground Effect behind. Think about the physical picture. You lift off early, you dip down and skim just above the surface, you accelerate in that Ground Effect cushion, and then you climb away clean and strong. Done right. It is one of the prettiest things in flying. It looks like the airplane is being poured off the runway. Now let's talk about the mistakes, because the ACS spells out the standard. And the examiner is looking for very specific things. The first big one, we already named climbing out of Ground Effect too early. The applicant lifts off, gets excited, hauls back, tries to climb immediately, and the airplane mushes or settles on a real soft field that's a settle back onto soft ground. On the check ride, that's the examiner watching you exceed the airplane's ability and either stagger or sink. The fix is discipline, lift off, then be patient. Level in Ground Effect, let the speed come to you before you ask the airplane to climb. The second mistake is the opposite, and it's sneaky. Some applicants get so committed to staying in Ground Effect that they just fly down the runway for 1,000 feet, skimming along, waiting and waiting. And now you're eating up runway, you're low and fast, and if there were an obstacle at the end, you'd be in trouble. Ground Effect is a cushion, not a cruising altitude. You accelerate to climb speed and then you go. It should take a few seconds, not the whole runway. The third mistake happens at the very start. Not enough back pressure at the beginning of the roll, so the nose wheel stays planted, digging along the whole takeoff. Or the flip side, too much. So the nose pitches way up and you're dragging the tail. The examiner wants to see that nose wheel come off early and then hold a steady, reasonable attitude. Smooth and controlled, not a seesaw. The fourth one is a paperwork and procedure miss that catches good stick and rudder pilots off guard. Flaps. Check your pilot's operating handbook, the POH, for your specific airplane. Many airplanes call for a notch of flaps for the soft field takeoff to help the wing make lift sooner. If your airplane wants flaps and you forget them, that's a config error the examiner will note. And after you're safely climbing, you have to remember to bring those flaps up on schedule, not yank them all at once down low where you'd lose the lift you're depending on. And the fifth mistake is really a mindset mistake. Applicants treat the soft field takeoff like a normal takeoff with a little extra back pressure sprinkled on top. It isn't. It's a fundamentally different sequence with a different goal. Normal takeoff, you accelerate on the ground to a target speed, then rotate. Soft field, you get airborne as slow as possible, then accelerate in the air. Those are almost backwards from each other. If you go into the maneuver with a normal takeoff picture in your head, you'll fight yourself the whole way. Let me give you a real scenario, because this stuff lives in your hands, not on a page. Picture a 2,000-foot grass strip on a warm morning after 2 days of rain. The grass is long and it's wet, heavy with dew. You've got trees at the far end, maybe 50 feet tall. This is a real airplane, a real place, the kind of strip a lot of us fly into for a camping trip or a pancake breakfast. If you try to take off of that like it's a paved runway, accelerate on the ground to normal rotation speed, that wet grass may not ever let you reach that speed. The drag is enormous. You could use up the whole 2,000 feet and still be stuck on the ground. But do it soft field style, rolling start, never stop moving, full back yoke, nose wheel pops up early, and rides above the grass instead of plowing through it. The airplane staggers off at a low speed, and instead of climbing, you level off 2-3 feet over the grass. You accelerate in ground effect. The speed builds because now you're not dragging through wet growth, and then, with airspeed in hand, you rotate and clear those 50-foot trees with margin. Same airplane, same strip. One technique gets you into the trees, the other gets you home. That's not a check ride abstraction. That's the difference the ACS is trying to build into you. One more piece, and it's about how you talk to yourself in the cockpit. I'm a big believer in a verbal flow on these maneuvers. Out loud, quietly to yourself, rolling yoke back, noses up, ease it flying, hold it down, accelerating, airspeed alive, VX and climb. When you name each phase as you fly it, you don't skip the patient part in the middle, because the patient part, the acceleration and ground effect, is the part your nerves will always try to rush. Naming it out loud keeps your hands honest. And listen. Learning to fly is hard and it is expensive, and a maneuver like this that asks you to do the exact opposite of your instincts, hold the airplane down when every fiber of you wants to climb away from the ground, that is genuinely difficult. If it's not clicking yet, that doesn't mean you're behind. It means you're learning something subtle. Go up with your instructor and do 5 or 6 of these in a row on a nice long runway where you can practice the ground effect acceleration with no obstacle and no pressure. Feel the airplane get light, feel it want to fly before it's ready to climb. Once your body knows that feeling, the check ride version is just the same thing with an examiner watching. The material on today's segment comes straight from the FAA Airman Certification Standards and the Airplane Flying Handbook, and from the numbers in your own airplane's pilot's operating handbook, which is always the final word for the machine you're actually flying. If you want more like this, everything's at radiohangar.com. Go practice this one. Get the nose up early, keep it down in the cushion, and let the airplane tell you when it's ready. She always tells you if you're patient enough to wait for it. This is Pattern, keep it rolling.